Are you out there today? I got to have a little feedback here. All right. This isn't a one-man show up here, you know. Okay, well, you know, I used to write little brochures and stuff, and at one point I had a little Rebecca's Corner, you know. You like to put a little clip in there. So I got a bunch of them, but I figured I'd just give you a couple of them. Okay. Food for thought, right? The secret place is close enough to hear his heartbeat. Get it? This stuff for you to think about. The secret place, remember, you got to go to the secret place to be with the Lord, is close enough to hear his heartbeat. God's holiness could cause us death. Instead, he holds us in the palm of his hands. Pretty neat, huh? God is so powerful that his breath could blow us away. Instead, he gave us life. You still out there? Emotions will lie to you. God's word will not. The difference between us and a lump of clay in the potter's hands is that God will only work with us to the extent we allow him to. One more. When taking care of other people's needs, yours don't seem so bad. Okay, you guys, I'm going to have to do something to stir you up. Can you all say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Well, that wasn't too bad. If you haven't known me by now, I like to have a good time. And I don't have a good time by myself necessarily. So you guys have to interact with me. I hope all of you got the little bookmark I passed out. I don't think Pastor Jim got one. Is there any more out there, Shelly? Not Shelly. Brianna? I know. Okay, well, if anyone doesn't have one and you want one, raise your hand and Lynn is going to be so nice to pass those out. And while he's doing that, turn to 1 Timothy 6:12. And while you're turning, I'm going to say a little prayer to the Lord. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you that it is life unto us. There's joy, there's peace, that you are always loving us. And I just ask that as I speak today, that your words will come out that you want said. And people's hearts will be open to receive your word so we can give you the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Timothy 6:12. You got it yet?
Yes.
Good. Somebody want to read it? I don't have it yet. I'm getting there, I think. I might get Brianna up here to read it here. Okay, 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So, Paul calls it the good fight of faith. And then he says, lay hold on to eternal life. That would indicate that you got to hang on strongly, right? Lay hold. You got to grab hold of it onto eternal life. You don't want to let it escape from you. So that kind of indicates maybe you could lose it. I'm not going there. Okay, lay hold on to eternal life to which you are also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In other words, you've already made a choice to come into God's kingdom. You've confessed with your mouth, that's the good confession, in the presence of many witnesses. In other words, you're willing to stand up and be counted, right? Okay. So then, that means that you've entered the good fight of faith. Well, just what kind of a fight are we in? Who wants to be in a fight? I don't know about you, but I usually run from fights. I don't. But anyway, he says we are in a fight. So we know that according to this here, we're in the book of Timothy, right? Timothy was a young man, and the church that that Paul had left him in charge of was the church, a young church in Ephesus. And so Paul's given Timothy instructions to help him to pastor these people. And his all of Paul's writings are written to new converts to know how to live. Well, that transcends time, doesn't it? That means it's still good for us today. That means that we can learn from what Paul has to say, because it's for our instruction so we can know how to live this life and how to fight this good fight of faith, right? Okay. So that's what the title is the good fight of faith. That's for Brianna's benefit. Hallelujah. Well, we know that Jesus already won the war, right? Did he?
Yes.
Okay. Good. But his enemy, Satan, or the devil, he doesn't want to give up, does he?
No.
He's still around. If possible, he would like to disrupt God's plan. So he tries to attack Jesus' body. That's you and me. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Well, there's a lot of scriptures we could use, but for time's sake today, I'm just picking out like one scripture here. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. That means each one of us is a member, right? We all form the body of Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't look like anybody else. I don't talk like anybody else. And I sure don't think like anybody else. So that means that I have something that's a little different from you, and each one of you have something different from me, and we can all benefit from each other. This body, you know, we look at what God made as the body, the example. There's a lot of different parts in our body, and every part has an important part to play. Now, verse 26, the one right above, says, if one member suffers, then all the members suffer. That means we're not in this alone. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Right? We all rejoice, no envy. We just rejoice when somebody else is getting along, right? Praise God. Now, when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, God prophesied to the serpent, and he was the representative of Satan. Turn with me to Genesis, the third chapter. We want to hear just exactly what the Lord said to this serpent. So verse 14. So the Lord God said to the serpent, you all know the story, right? I don't think there's anybody in here, is there, that doesn't know the story of how the serpent came to Eve and deceived her, and they all sinned because they were deceived. Well, the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust. That's what he gets to do, is eat dust. And he can't stand up and walk on his tail. He has to crawl all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. Notice here that her seed is capitalized. It's one singular seed, which is Jesus. You want to find Jesus in the Old Testament? Right here's one of the places. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now, the head is a place of authority or the command center, right? You destroy the head, you bruise the head, and it doesn't function very good after that. Well, you bruise the heel, and yeah, you can hurt a little. You might limp around a bit, but you're still getting around, and you are still very viable. And this is what God prophesied to Satan. Says that I've got a plan that someone is going to destroy you, and you're going to try, but you're not going to really hurt him all that much. Okay, so that's what this fight is all about. Okay? Satan, then, he's still trying to attack that heel. Right? Okay. So this represented the struggle and the triumph Jesus had over Satan. When he went down to hell, you know, when Satan thought he had destroyed him on the cross, and Jesus went down the depths of hell, and there was this terrible fight going on down there. But Jesus ripped the keys away from the devil, and he came on back up, raised from the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm glad I heard somebody say hallelujah. Amen. So we know that the battle, the war has already been won, right? Yeah. But there's still this time period that we're here on earth. And so there's this time period where Satan is still trying to get that heel. Now, some of us, this could give us a little concern, don't you think? Who likes to get hurt? But in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, 5b, it says, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Guess what? We're not here on our own. Turn to Mark, the 16th chapter. You got to be fast on these things. I didn't get all that much time today, you know. I'll try to get you out of here quick. Okay, Mark, the 16th chapter. We're going to be reading the very last words that Jesus spoke before he left for heaven. Those are pretty important when you know you're leaving, and you're trying to get everything said that needs to be said. So he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Short and sweet. You either believe And what Jesus did? Or you're condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. Remember, that serpent represents the devil. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of God. He went up there and sat down. And they went out and preached everywhere. The Lord working with them. But I thought he was sitting down up there. The Lord was working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Confirming the word. See, when they went out and spoke the word, Jesus had already spoken those words. Those words never lose their power. They're out there in the atmosphere. And all we have to do is connect with them. And there's power. Amen? All we have to do is put our tongue to them. And it becomes alive and powerful within us. Because he already spoke them. That he's already paid for it. He's already done it. That's not work on our part. We open our mouth. How hard is that to open our mouth and talk? Well, for some people it might be hard. It's not for me. If you need lessons, come to me. Oh, dear Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, sometimes. Oh, dear. So he said he will never leave us nor forsake us. He works with us. His words are creative words. And guess what? We're made in his image. If his words are creative, so are our words. Now, let me tell you, I've had to learn the hard way about this, because there's many words I wish I could have taken back. Yeah. Because I live them today. So do you. Right. But our words are creative. So if we want good things in our life, we have to speak forth good things, right? Yes. Turn to Psalms 8. We're going for verse 3. Now we know David. He sure loved the Lord. And he said, "When I consider your heavens." Oh, have you ever just looked out there at the stars? Just when it's all dark and you consider those heavens. The stars, the moon, or during the day, a nice clear day, like to just look out there and see the beauty. Even in a storm, you see how those clouds just roll in, and man, it's beautiful. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? Do you realize that he has come? He's not just visiting us anymore. He's in our hearts. He's with us. He said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. It doesn't matter what lowest hell you think you've gone into. He's been there. You have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. Just think about that. you are crowned with glory and honor. Can you say that? I am crowned with glory and honor. Hallelujah. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. Say that with me. I have been made to have dominion over the works of your hands. In other words, the works that God did, he's given to us to be in control of. He gave it to us. You have put all things under his feet. There you go. Everything is under my feet. Can you say that? Everything is under my feet. All right. So where's the heel? It's right under your foot, right? It's the bottom of your... You can't get any lower. He's down there. We can step on him. He might try to bite it, but but he's under our feet. Hallelujah. I better be careful. The good news for us is that he not only works with us, but he gives us protection and instruction. So now you can turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Did y'all see that little bookmark I made for you? I made that late last night, so if it's a little crooked or something. I was going to have a poster and make Brianna walk around with it, but it wouldn't have gotten here in time. So, she's happy. So, after Paul gives a lot of instruction to Timothy, he tells him in verse 10 and 11, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemings of the devil." You see, the devil, he's very cunning, and he uses familiar spirits to inform him of our weaknesses. And he listens to the words of our mouth. He can't know us any other way. So, and he's not with us all the time, so he has to depend on reports from those, you know, little imps that he assigns to us, you know. They're just little imps. They're not very big, actually. I saw one in the spirit once. Like a little monkey. You know, the little tiny ones? And they are skittish and run. So, guess what? They might yell and roar like a lion, but they're all you have to do is go, boo, and they run. Try saying Jesus and see what happens. Oh, Lord. I'm having fun. I don't know about you. Pastor Jim is still smiling. Oh, Lord. Okay, I got to find myself here. So anyway, why are we told to stand? The reason is because Satan wants to make us fall or become ineffective. That's all he can do to us. He can try to trip us up. He can try to make us fall. And because we're human, yeah, we might fall sometimes. But the Lord promises he'll help us get right back up, keep on going. He'll forgive us, right? So we're going to read quickly through this, the rest of this, and then we'll come back a little bit later. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We can't fight it in the natural. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. See, they're just darts. They're little darts. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. I've included those because that's still part of our armor. Okay? Now I'd like to compare being in our earthly armor with being in God's armor. I mean, earthly army with being in God's army. Because that's what he tends to do here. So, I'd like a show of hands here. Is there anyone here that has served in the army or in the military? Anybody here? Two of you? Okay, I need some help. Three? Oh, you too, I didn't see. Well, good. I need you guys, are you bold enough to come and stand up here? I need a little help. You're not going to leave me up here alone, are you? Come on, you three big men, and you've served in the military. Come on, I'm not going to do anything to hurt you. Okay, give him a hand for being bold. All right, now if you remember before when I spoke, I said I don't like to speak something that I haven't gone through or experienced. I've never been in the military. So I'm going to ask some questions, and if it's true, then all you have to do is say yes. If it's no, well, we might have to have an explanation. Okay. To be in the military, you have to join up, right? Yep. You know, we get a yes from everybody. Well, I'm getting there. Don't preach my message. I love it. I love the interaction, you know. So, Jesus calls us and we respond and become born again. In times of war, Uncle Sam may call you, but you always have to sign up, right? He may send, he'll draft you, but you still have to go in, you have to sign up, and you're giving away yourself for service, right? You become their property, right? Then you have to go through basic training, right? You don't start at the top?
Nope.
Well, you know, in Timothy 3:6, Paul said to Timothy, you don't put a novice in charge. Now, there's reasons for that, right? Even though you might see a lot of potential in that person, you don't put them in charge right off, do you?
No.
Okay. Now, when you go into that basic training, you're given everything you need, right?
Yep.
Clothing, food, There's a manual about the service. There's weapons. And you have to have training, right, on how to use all this clothing and the armor, the use of the weapons. They might teach you something about what kind of enemy you got out there. Okay. Aren't they doing good?
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you're given a vision, right? Or a direction or assignment. Okay? On what part you have to fulfill in the vision, right? You can't have your own vision, right? You have to know what they want to do and you follow what they say. Because two visions will cause division or division. Okay? So you have to have single purpose, right? You can't get out there on your own and do something, right? Okay. Just checking. Now, you learn to listen to the commander, right? And follow instructions, right? So you work together, right? There's repercussions if you don't follow the orders, right? Well, distractions can cause loss of life. And I want to read a verse for you, or a couple verses, in 1 John chapter 2. You can keep standing there. I'm not through with you yet. You guys are doing good, though. You won't raise your hand again, though, will you? Yes, you will. All right. Okay, 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. This is talking to a Christian, right? A born-again Christian. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. That's what he wants us to do. Keep our focus so we'll live forever, right? With him. Amen. Okay, so know that working together, you get a lot more accomplished, right? So one, we read in the scriptures, one can chase 1,000, two can chase 10,000. One by themselves can easily be picked off by the enemy, right? You get out there and wander off on your own, you're likely to stand, to walk on a mine, or somebody will pick you off in the shooting. That's right? Okay. I don't know. I've never been out there. Okay, so then the leader or the commander gets the orders or direction on how your company will carry out the plan, right? Sure. They don't call the private and tell him what's going to happen, right? They call the leader. Okay, God tells you, listen up here, God tells you what company or church to sign up with. Plugging, no, not really. But he's also the one that gives transfers. You can't just go where you want, can you? Hello. You're not your own anymore. So he has to get, you have to ask them, and they have to talk to the head guy, and then they might agree that you could go somewhere else, right?
Right.
So there's protection in following the plan and the rules and working together. Wouldn't you say so? Well, you guys sure helped me an awful lot. I thank you. You can go sit down. You can go sit down. They're going to be careful with me after this. Okay. Oh, they're doing good. Are you having fun with me?
Yes.
Okay. So, our assignment is to destroy Satan's kingdom by getting as many as possible to join God's kingdom. That's what the Great Commission is. To go out and preach and win people to the Lord. And living our lives. They're going to read you. Maybe you're not one that can get up and really talk to people that much. But they're going to read you, what you do, how you react, what your, you know, what your demeanor is and what's going on. So, if we look at our armor for protection, back in Ephesians chapter 6, I'll get a bit back there. Ephesians chapter 6. We see here, for our protection, first of all, it starts off with the belt of truth. And I have some scriptures and stuff about the different things, but I'm going to skip those for sake of time here. But this belt of truth, Jesus is the truth, right? There's no other way to heaven, to God, except through Jesus. That is the truth. And it's the truth you know that's going to set you free. You can learn all sorts of things, but if you don't know it, it's not going to set you free. So this belt of truth just holds everything together. Everything you believe, everything that's going on, this belt kind of holds it together. The breastplate of righteousness. Pastor Jim already talked about righteousness. It came through Jesus and the sacrifice that he paid. So we're putting on this breastplate, which is Jesus. He's covering us. See that? He covers us. You know, I heard one time that with the armor, the only thing that's not covered is the back, for there's no retreat. Guess what? That goes all the way around you. You're covered. Front, back, sides, you're covered. And that breastplate of righteousness protects our heart, our vital organs, all these things that is within our body. And, you know, you could do a whole big study on this, and it has been done. Shoes of peace. If you notice that you got to make sure that you're wearing the right shoes. The shoes of peace doesn't mean peace on earth, because that's where the world will go around. They'll try to say, well, you should be in peace with everybody. You should accept everybody just the way they are. That's not what kind of peace this is. If you go back and you read when Jesus came to earth and it was proclaimed that the peace that came was between God and man. It wasn't between man and man. So he didn't bring peace between men. That's for another time. But he brought peace between God and man. In other words, we have peace with God because Jesus fulfilled the law. And there's a whole big teaching on that. But if you can just take by faith that, okay, this peace is between me and God, and you walk in peace. If you allow the peace of God to come in your life, then you can walk in peace with other people around you. Okay? But it doesn't mean that everybody's going to like you. Not everybody's going to accept what you have to say. So don't be surprised. So those shoes have to fit right, or your feet will hurt. The shield of faith. Our faith comes by hearing the word of God. And that word, as we listen to the word of God, our faith is increased. And that takes rid or gets rid of all those darts of doubt and unbelief. And that's all they are. They're darts. They're not even spears. They're not axes. They're little darts that the enemy is trying to throw at you. And all you have to do is lift up that shield of faith. But boy, if one of those darts, if you don't have it up, one of those darts hits you, it hurts. I know, I've experienced it. I can say of a truth that I have experienced it. Okay, a real dart. Okay, all right, we're almost there. Then the helmet of salvation. That helmet protects our mind, our will, our emotions, our finances, our healings, our health, everything that is promised in our salvation. Knowing our salvation, knowing what's in our salvation, protects our mind. Our weapons are include the sword of the Spirit, which we know is the Word of God. You got to keep it sharp. You got to keep it clean. You got to know how to use it. So you've got to have the Word of God in you, right? You got to read it. You got to keep it before your face. You got to take care of it like it's precious. How is that sword going to help you if you're not taking care of it? If you just put it up on the mantle, it'll get rusty. You won't know. How are you going to get to it in time if somebody comes to the door? You got to keep it right with you. You see on that little bookmark? That guy's ready. You see? He's got his sword ready. He's not sitting in the easy chair. He's ready. Okay? So you got to keep it sharp and know how to use it. And praying in the Spirit, being watchful, you know, have to know how to pray. Otherwise, you're taking that machine gun or whatever, when you're praying, and you're just scattering bullets and hope you hit something. Well, maybe you might once in a while. But unless you know how to aim it and use the right strength or right gun, right bullet, whatever, how can you take a little pistol and shoot at a tank? Is that going to do any good? Maybe it'll make a little dent. I don't know. You guys might have to answer that one for me. But you're going to use a lot of energy and get nothing done, right? So when we do something, we want to have purpose in it. We want to know that it's going to work. So remember, the battle is the Lord's. Can you say that with me? The battle is the Lord's. He's already won. We're just occupying until he comes back. In other words, we don't want the devil to gain any ground. We don't want to give him an inch. It may seem like a real fight, but if we listen to God and use his armor, we can just rest in him. Amen?
Amen.
Did you get something out of it?
Yes.
All right.